Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 12 of Power Up and Game. I am Michael Mosley. I will be your host today, and I am here with Taylor, who is still taking over for Riley. Taylor, how are you doing today?
I am doing pretty damn good. We're going to be talking about Summer Game Fest today, and I don't know what everybody's feeling about it. I know that Jeff Keighley talked about ahead of time saying don't expect like 40 to 50 in big announcements. It's going to be a lot of stuff that's already previously announced. I'm really glad he said that because I feel like my mood also shifted to be like, all right, I know not to expect this. So when this show ended, it was a little long, but at the end, I would say I'm pretty entertained by it all.
Okay. And that is going to be our biggest thing for today's episode. It's all about Summer Game Fest 2022. So let's not dilly-dally, because there are plenty of games that we can talk about. But what are your overall, before we get into the games that we saw, what were your overall thoughts about today's Summer Game Fest?
Well, like I said, I just thought it was pretty entertaining. And again, I think this also goes to what Jeff Keighley said before, really warning people going like, hey, don't expect massive 40 huge announcements in this thing. It's not going to be that. It's going to be a bunch of stuff that's already been announced. There are some surprises in here that we'll talk about, but overall, I just thought it was a really fun time, and we're not done. We got more stuff we're going to see throughout the weekend, and I'm pumped for that. I'm really, like, there's something to be said, I think, about this new format we got here with Summer Game Fest and really spreading out these events. I feel like they're more easier to digest.
Yeah, and they're all happening within this, like, this month, like the next 2 weeks.
And they still just feel that way to me. Like, it's still, like, E3 was still over the course of a week. But I don't know. There's something about E3 all happening in the span of, like, 2 or 3 days. And then you get, like, 2-hour show. 1.5-hour show. All back to back to back. By the end of the weekend at E3, you're just sitting there exhausted. You're on empty, especially as a writer. Like, I'm sure you've been there, Michael, yeah. Where, like, you're covering E3, and by the end of the weekend, you're just like, I don't want to even play a video game right now.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the weird things. When I went to E3 in 2019, I was super excited about going, but the actual event was horrible. But I still managed to have fun because I got to meet a bunch of people, get to make some new contacts, see some cool games. Oddly enough, one of the most exciting games that I saw down there that I really wanted to play but didn't get to play was Tetris.
You said this was in 2019, right?
Yeah. The last E3 show before they went digital.
What was the best game you saw at E3? You know, Tetris looked really good.
Tetris looked amazing.
The new block mechanics they had, new yeah. Animations. Oh, so good.
No, it just looks so cool. And I think the reason it got me is because I really like Luminous, and I love Tetris, and like having them both together, it's kind of like a thing I wanted. But yeah, E3 2019, the organization itself was terrible. The show was okay. The people were great. The staff was friendly. You know, it was a good time.
But it's an exhausting time.
It is. It's exhausting.
So going to what we're getting this year, I don't know. It just feels more, it just, like I said, easier.
It feels focused. Yeah. Because it feels way more focused since everybody can spread things out between all these showcases rather than everybody trying to jam into E3 and try to stand out. And I think that's the biggest difference that we're seeing now. It's like everybody has, like you say, we have all these showcases and events. Everybody has room to breathe.
Yeah, but Michael, you had the unique opportunity here because you did not watch the show live. You, right before we recorded, you sat down and watched all the trailers, and you pretty much got to cut out any of the advertisements and all the in between, I guess, of the event. So I'm curious, what did you think of Summer Game Fest?
Well, from what I've seen, I like how they handled it, how they show game after game after game, and like they did bring it up with interviews, and then game after game after game, where it actually felt like we were getting what we were promised, Game Fest. You know, we got the games that we wanted. We didn't get the way we wanted them. I still think Steam's Indie Fest and all their game fest that they're doing is still better, because for a lot of those games that shown off, you actually get to play them, because like many of the games that they have those things, they have a demo that comes with it. There's a couple of games that was at the Game Fest that has a demo that they announced, but yeah, having a showcase seems cool, but Steam has spoiled me with their fests to where I can see those games and I can read about them and I can see the trailer and then I can play the demo if the trailer looks interesting. While here, all we get was here's a trailer and here's a date for a beta. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. So unfortunately for me, Steam kind of spoiled me. But overall, I like this. I like the idea of Game Fest. I would actually like to see Summer Game Fest continue.
I think what's exciting about this is the fact that Summer Game Fest is a new event in a way. It's only been, a few years since they started doing it. And not only that, this felt kind of like an off year to where a lot of games are getting delayed, a lot of stuff people don't want to show because of that. And considering that, I think they did a damn good job, because there was a lot of really good games here.
Yeah, no, they did. They could have easily reshown PS5 Tunic and some of the other games that we know are already out or already coming out. I think they did a great job of keeping things focused and showing the games. Like, look, Jeff, you can tell this guy's excited about what he does, because he makes a game that you already know is coming out sound exciting. It's like Ninja Turtles. It's like, yeah, man, we know about that. But he sounded so excited, like he wants to play it, because you know he does. And it's kind of like hearing a friend be excited for it. And then you're like, you know what? Yeah, I am kind of excited for Ninja Turtles again, despite the point that I've seen it 16 times with the trailers, because I ran into the ground watching it over and over again.
Well, not only that, I felt like I don't think it was a perfect show for everybody. I don't think everybody came on here with that energy. But for the most part, it kind of felt like people were talking as people and not as weird corporate machines who were talking off a teleprompter. Am I talking about Phil Spencer? Maybe. Look, I'm a Phil Spencer guy. I'm a fan of his. But at the same time, this dude reads off a teleprompter way too often. And
that's what I was saying earlier about the interviews and stuff. It's good to see that come back, because it's good to see the devs and publishers who believe in these games actually talk about their experience, talk about why this game is special to them, and talk about why you should be excited for it. I miss those. I think we talked about it a while ago in a different episode about E3 and what we wanted from it again. One thing I mentioned was I miss live demos. While we didn't get live demos here, I do like that we still got people, not suits, but people actually talk about their work and how excited they are. Like we'll talk about this soon too. When The Last of Us popped up, they had Neil Druckmann, and Jeff was talking to Neil and a couple of the actors. I'm sorry, I
forgot Troy Baker names. And Ashley Johnson are the two I really want to talk about, because those two really did come on the stage and they were like, they just genuinely seemed to just talk like normal human beings, which you don't often hear too often. I'm not sure how much of this was scripted or how much of it was off a teleprompter. Of course, you have to have some preparation for an event like this. So I'm not being like, oh, they did all this winging it. It's just, even if they did, they made it seem like it wasn't, which that's what I appreciate. Genuine. If you're going to do this kind of stuff, at least make it seem like you're being genuine, at the very least. And I think at the very least, that's what the show did. It was very fun. It was cool to see Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson talk about their experience on The Last of Us TV show and playing these characters in the video games like they have. And talking about Troy Baker talking about like the last time he played the games and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool to see.
Yeah, and they're genuinely excited about it, because they really love this franchise. You can tell that they enjoy these characters.
Like when they were talking about the remake, and
they were beaming.
Yeah, like they were showing the side by side of what it looks like compared to what the remastered looked like, and talking about the animations and all that stuff, you can just tell by both of them, like, they were probably told about this stuff beforehand, but at the same time, I don't think in that much detail, because it looked like that was the first time they had heard it.
Yeah, they were pretty, I mean, they mentioned that they haven't, that they, like the show was the first time they saw it, but yeah, they really genuinely were like, oh my goodness, look at this, we're making a comeback, like, the Last of Us 1, I remember all the stuff we did, and now it's being remade from the ground up, and yeah, yeah, and it's like, yeah, it's really cool to see these people actually excited for the work that they make. And I those are the things that I miss about E3. Those are the things I missed about showcases, was instead of PR speak, you get the people who worked on it and give them the spotlight for a moment and let them show their pride in the game.
Yeah, I definitely agree. We'll have problems in the show, I think. Or not even problems, just something where it's like, yeah, this didn't interest me. But there is something to be said about just this enjoyable time where it feels like we didn't waste our time watching the show.
Yeah, and you mentioned before, you said like there was something here for everybody. And I think that's why these kind of shows are always a hit and miss. It's because you expect every last game to catch your interest. But they had different genres impossible. In here.
Unless you are a unicorn of a human being who loves every kind of game under yeah. the sun. Which, good for you if you are, but it's quite impossible. You know how many billions of people are on this planet? You know how many of them are gamers? Like, we're not going to love everything. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah, like, no matter how much you love video games, there's always going to be something that you're just like, that doesn't look very interesting. And some person can be like, oh my gosh, that looks super cool. Like, there are a couple of games where you were like, oh, I really like this. And I'm just like, yo, I don't get it. I don't see it. But it's only because like everybody has different tastes. And that's what I like about this showcase. This fest was that they showed all kinds of games from all kinds of genres. Like you were even mentioning a couple of games. I was like, I don't know what this is. You're like, oh, it's a strategy game. It's turn-based. It's like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Like those kind of games kind of show them. Because, you know, with these kind of shows, they just like they like to show the fast-paced games, like the racers and the shooters and stuff like that. But it's good to see that they have something out here for everybody.
Well, speaking of something for everybody, what started off our showcase here, man?
Yes. Street Fighter VI. It was about a week ago. They started showing off gameplay. They showed Ryu and Luke.
At Sony State of Play.
Yeah, they showed State of Play. We talked about that. We talked about how we love the art style. Well, it's that time where they slowly start showing us content. And for today, well, during the Summer Game Fest, Street Fighter VI revealed Guile is coming back. He will not be a DLC character, thank goodness. He will be in there at launch. And I'm telling you right now, Guile is one of my favorite Street Fighter characters, alongside Ryu, Chun-Li, Cammy, C-Viper, and Blanca. Seriously, I hope we get C-Viper back. But yeah, Guile was one of my favorites. He was the guy I was spamming in the arcades. Everybody was doing Hadoukens, and I was doing Sonic Booms. Like that was my go-to guy back in the arcade days. But the game is set to release sometime in 2023, and during this reveal, we see Guile's got some new moves, including some miniature Sonic Booms that you can just spam the hell out of, and I can't wait for it. We saw that Guile and Ryu was going at it, gameplay-wise, not story-wise. And they showed the classic of everybody spamming Sonic Boom and Hadoukens at each other, and I loved it. It looks so great. Guile also has a couple of new moves on him, including a mid-air backflip kick, and he looked like he got himself a little goatee going on there. Just to remind you that all your favorite Street Fighter characters are getting older. This takes place like what, 5 years after Street Fighter V?
I'm not too sure because I'm not that big of a Street Fighter fan, unfortunately.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it takes about like I think 3 to 6 years after Street Fighter V, after the fall of Shadaloo, and I don't know what they didn't show what Guile's story is going to be. So it's gonna be interesting to see how he fits into the whole story. But he's sporting a goatee now, and he still got his Johnny Bravo on with his comb. I am excited that they're bringing Guile back as an actual character, not as DLC, not as pre-order nonsense. And I'm hoping that we get see Viper back. Hope we get Blanca back as an actual character, not a DLC character. And I still like the look of this game. I like the ink with the paint blush look to it. And I'm excited for this one for 2023.
Oh yeah, I love the art style of this game. Even from an outsider perspective, I'm not that huge of a Street Fighter fan. I think I played the game a few times in my life and that's it. I love this art style. I know who Guile is because he's so iconic of a character throughout the years. So it's cool to see. I think this was a good start for the showcase, too. It was something that Street Fighter fans would just a sigh of relief. Like, oh, yeah, thank God. Yeah. All right, he's in the game. All right, good. Awesome.
It really is because Street Fighter V, one of the biggest issues with that one was the disrespect that they had towards their fans by locking away so many legacy characters and just the roster in general, just so they can sell it back to you in passes. So it's good to see that they revealed Guile will be in the game as an actual character, not DLC, not pre-order bonus, not a super special edition or whatever. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Hopefully they announce some more characters that I really like. Seriously, I want C Viper back, and please don't, if you bring her back, please don't put her in as DLC. I want C Viper.
And that's in 2023, right? I'm just making sure.
It is. Yeah, right. Sometime in 2023. I'm surprised they didn't show more about their online multiplayer battle hub thing, but this, I'm good with this. I like this this reveal trailer because it showed gameplay, and I am completely down for Guile versus Ryu Sonic Booms Hadouken spam matches. And speaking of 2023, Alien Dark Descent was announced with a mostly CG trailer with a little bit of gameplay in it. Now, Taylor, you were the one who told me about this. You brought it to my attention. So I'm guessing you are an Aliens fan.
I'm not really. Aliens fan?
Oh no, yeah, because we were talking about
scary movies and stuff on the lat because the Sony State of Play. We were talking about Resident Evil and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but when it comes to the Aliens games, you and I were talking about it before we started recording, and it is kind of funny, like how hit or miss these games are, and yeah, how many we've gotten over the past few years. It feels like a lot, which the Alien franchise is very popular, so it's understandable. It is. But you sit down and you think about it, you're like, am I crazy? Or is there a lot of Alien games out there? So it's like, this is one that, like you said, a CGI trailer, but at the same time, let's see if this is one of the hits or one of the misses.
Yeah, moving on, the Callisto Protocol gameplay debut. The game is set for release on December 2nd, 2022, right before Dead Space. Taylor, you were pretty big into this one. I think this is the one that caught us by surprise when we first saw it. So what do you think about the gameplay debut for Callisto Protocol?
If you remember our State of Play episode, Michael, I mentioned that I wasn't all in on that Callisto project or Protocol trailer. And the reason why is because we didn't really see anything.
Right.
It was mainly just another cinematic. And I actually thought for a split second, I forgot that they were saying, like, oh, we're going to see gameplay here. So when we saw the cinematic for a split second, I was like, oh, God, just show us fucking gameplay, please. And then that's exactly what we got.
Yeah.
And I understand this is from one of the co-creators of Dead Space. That said, this game looks a lot fucking like Dead Space.
Yeah, it really is. I think that's what's going
to
be.
Look, hold on. I need to say this before you go.
Okay, go ahead.
That's not a bad thing. That is really not a bad thing, especially with the atmosphere and all that stuff of the game. It really benefits, and I think it looks phenomenal. This gameplay demo was great. That said, this game does look a lot like Dead Space.
Yeah, and what makes it so strange is that it's like, what, within a month or two after this game releases, we get Dead Space Remake. So there's going to be a lot of comparisons for that game, which, again, like we talked about during the PlayStation State of Play, it's not bad, like you just said. It's not a bad thing because people really love Dead Space. So having more Dead Space-like games, I don't think anybody's going to have too much of a problem with that. But I think the Callisto Protocol kind of has its own identity, oddly enough, because it's the atmosphere. It seems a lot more creepy. Like, Dead Space was creepy, don't get me wrong. But it's something about Callisto Protocol, and I think it's because it did catch us all by surprise. It really does wear its love for Dead Space or its inspiration for Dead Space on its sleeve. But I think what's going to make this one different from Dead Space is that I think it's really going for that hard, mature rated blood and gore kind of thing. So I think it's going to be more psychological than Dead Space was. And that's saying a lot.
And like you mentioned, when this game releases, it releases on December 2nd, 2022. Which is not fully what I expected. I don't remember if we got a release window for this game ever. But I never thought it was coming out this year.
It really did. Well, with the way games were getting delayed, I think we were all expecting for like a...
Well, this is the first time I've seen gameplay for it, Michael. So, I mean, I understand that's 6 months from now. So, that it's not the unheard of for a game to show its first bit of gameplay 6 months early. Earlier than its release date.
Oh yeah, but Dead Space was also supposed to come out this year, and that got pushed back to next year. So I think that was the thing. It was like a lot of people weren't really sure. And since these games are coming out so close together, wow, you really got to find a way to stand out. But hopefully the December 2nd window works for them, because people are itching for Dead Space. So I think a lot of people who are unsure about the Callisto Protocol, after they watch, like you, after they watch the gameplay, they're gonna be like, okay, you know what? December 2nd, I can get my Dead Space a little early. I'm digging that. I'm looking forward to that.
And my concern is that these games are very close to each other, in terms of how I believe Dead Space to be as a game, and how Callisto Protocol's gameplay looks. They're also very close to each other in terms of a release date. So my hope, though, is that there's enough time still for both of these games to stand on their own and be highly successful and people to enjoy them as their own things. And hopefully both games can do enough to stand apart from each other and both be successful. That's best case scenario.
Yeah, that's going to be the hard part for at least Callisto Protocol is standing out. Because you know at that point, EA is going to be ramping up the advertisement for Dead Space. And I wonder how many people are going to get confused between the two.
Oh, yeah. Very true. But here's the thing, man. Last week, we had some predictions, right? And we did. I made a statement. I said the most anticipated game on my 2022 list, other than God of War Ragnarok, is Modern Warfare 2. And I gotta say, we got a gameplay campaign trailer for this. We haven't seen multiplayer yet. Hadn't seen Warzone 2.0 yet. But I gotta say, after seeing just the campaign so far, I stand by those statements. I love this game. It looks freaking great. What did you think?
Absolutely loved it. I know a lot of people can be like, oh, it's Call of Duty, it's the same. Like, hey, look, I skipped out on Cold War, and most of us skipped out on Vanguard because we were waiting for Modern Warfare 2. Just see what they can do. To, like we said before, catch that, you said this at our, PlayStation, State of Play, try to catch that lightning in a bottle twice. And you and I were both concerned that when we see it, we might just be kind of meh about it, but we kept our hopes up because the first, Modern Warfare, reboot caught us by surprise at how good it was. So yeah, coming surprise. This looks really good. Like, I don't know what else to tell you people, all right? Like, the campaign, like, they put some time into it. They put care into it. I got that feeling I had when the original Modern Warfare 2 came out, to where I was like, I want to play this game now. I don't want to wait until October. Like, oh my goodness, I wish this was coming out sooner. But of course, in a few months, we'll get that multiplayer gameplay trailer, which I'll just be like, yeah, it's multiplayer. Because again, I love Modern Warfare 1 and 2. Their campaigns were great. 3 was a little iffy, but I still enjoyed it. So I was kind of wondering what could they do with Modern Warfare 2? Like, how are they going to pull this off? It looked cool. And it does. It looks freaking amazing. And they announced on their Twitter that the whole Ricochet anti-cheat thing would be part of multiplayer and Warzone 2 at launch. So that's kind of cool that it's a thing that they're still working on, and it'll be there as soon as you get started. I don't know. Which one do you think we'll see first? The Warzone 2 gameplay or just multiplayer gameplay?
Multiplayer. From the outside looking in, it seems like they're planning to do that Warzone 2.0 stuff, kind of how they did with Warzone and Modern Warfare 2019, to where we may or may not see Warzone 2 at launch, or very close to launch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I don't think that's a smart call. You want people to play your game first and play the campaign, play the multiplayer, get ingrained in that, level up their weapons, and then go, hey, here's Warzone 2.0. Here's the new map. Here's everything that's going to be in Warzone. And I think that's probably the best case scenario for Call of Duty.
Yeah, and I don't think they even have to launch it on day one, because there'll still be people playing regular Warzone. They'll be playing Warzone 1. And in anticipation of Warzone 2, they'll probably do something like a big event in Warzone 1 where everything gets destroyed or something. I don't know, whatever Vanguard's thing is, nuclear weaponry. But yeah, I'm not really looking forward to Warzone 2, but I am looking forward to the multiplayer. And the mission that we saw in the campaign gameplay was you get to play as Soap McTavish. The boy Soap is back. But it looks really cool. They showed mounting is back. There's I don't know, the ship that you were on, watching the storage units move around and shifting.
That was really cool.
Yeah, I really liked it. Like, okay, it's scripted, sure, but it's still a pretty cool thing to put in there. Like, it goes to show some creativity. It goes to show that they want to make this their big blockbuster game. You know, after Vanguard and after Cold War, you're just like, yeah, is there really much they can do? And I don't know, showing this, like, this was like probably the best level to show, to showcase your new improved engine and your character models and whatnot. Because while it did take place at night, seeing everything rain soaked and seeing the water pour over the ship, through the ship, and seeing everything, all the containers move around, it was just so cool looking. Like, if you go back to the 360 PS3 days and look at that, and then look at this, you're like, dude, that's amazing. Like, this reboot makes sense now. Like, everybody's doing remakes and reimagining. This works. And I really enjoyed what I saw gameplay-wise for the campaign.
Yeah, man, I really love this campaign demo, too. I don't know why I got the feeling. There's nothing about this game gave me the impression. I just got the feeling we wouldn't be playing a Soap. But it was kind of cool that this demo, at least for this mission, you are playing a Soap. So I thought that was pretty cool as well. You mentioned all the scripted stuff Call of Duty campaigns have, and you mentioned it being a blockbuster, and that's the best way I can describe it, especially the Modern Warfare franchise, because that's what they've always been. They've always been trying to toe that line between being too Michael Bay and not enough action. And yeah. In Modern Warfare 2019, I think they expertly did that. It's one of the best campaigns I've played of a Call of Duty. And one of the best campaigns I think I played of a FPS game. Up there with, hey, I'm just going to say this. This might be a hot take. But I think Call of Duty Infinite Warfare's got a really good campaign. And nobody talks about it.
Really? Infinite Warfare?
I know the rest of the game sucks, but Call of Duty Infinite Warfare has got one of the best campaigns. It should be up there with the Modern Warfares, with the early Black Ops. Should be up there.
To be honest, I like the idea of their campaign. I think they were actually trying to write like a Hollywood movie for a video game. And it was kind of cool. But I think what killed it was you had these exoskeletons and the grappling hook that lets you like go vertically, which is kind of cool. But they didn't take advantage of it. And I think that was the biggest problem with Infinite Warfare.
Again, multiplayer, I get it. People didn't like it. Zombies, yeah, people didn't right. like it as much. That said, campaign, fantastic. Tying this all the way back to Modern Warfare 2, I think this game is going to be up there with all those other games. It's just the campaign, the characters. Some Call of Duty content creators got to go see the game early. And I highly suggest you go take a look at their impressions on it. For example, my former employer over at Modern Warzone, ModernWarzone.com has a fantastic write-up of what he has seen and what he has been allowed to share with it. And all of it, for the most part, it sounds pretty good. So this campaign demo, it was exactly what I wanted it to be. It's exactly what you think it would be. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's exactly what I want from Modern Warfare 2. Give me the awesome at Michael Bay sequences without going way too over the top with it. Give me the awesome characters. Give me the tactical missions. And give me some awesome audio design. Because one of the things I love about Modern Warfare 2019, this is just for the campaign, because the multiplayer's audio is a little messy. But for the campaign, I loved how they got you into an atmosphere. Like, I still remember, and I put this in my review for Modern Warfare 2019, going up flights of stairs with my headset on, and you're just hearing a train pass. You're hearing crying in another room. You're hearing doors slam. All these things, when you're trying to be quiet, you're trying to be precise, you're trying not to fuck up, and you had night vision goggles on and everything. It's just so tense.
Oh man, night vision goggles were awesome.
It's just so tense of an atmosphere. In Modern Warfare 2, from this one demo that I've already seen, I just automatically went, yep, they got it. They know exactly what to do with this. They know what they want the player to feel, and they're going to make them feel it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. All right, so we do know that the game is releasing on October 28th, and of course, they're doing their pre-order for the beta thing, which you'll be able to play. The beta will come out first on PlayStation consoles, and after that, PC and Xbox will get it. But talking about Blast from the Past, Flashback is getting a sequel after 30 years. Goodness gracious. I know nothing about Flashback, to be honest. I'm only 33.
I don't so either. This is not a good sign.
But for those of you who are big into those games, Flashback 2 was announced. The problem with this game is they didn't really show anything, if you've noticed. They showed a bunch of gameplay in the background while they had a bunch of fancy stuff flying all around. Almost as if they were scared to show off their game. It's coming in 2022 on consoles and PC, and it's being done by Microids, which, if that name sounds familiar to you, they did the 13 remake that was absolutely awful and I think still doesn't work correctly. They don't really have the best track record. So for them to get their hands on another classic and a sequel at that, I don't know. I don't know, man. It looks strange. It looks like a bad sign to me. I think this was definitely one of the more confusing shows that was one of the most confusing games that was shown. Because I'm looking in the background trying to figure out, okay, is that the old game or are you trying to mimic the old game? Because you and I were going back and forth about whether this was a sequel or not, because it was shown just Flashback, and then there was like a little two on there, like Flashback Square. And I'm looking in the background trying to figure out if this is the game we're supposed to be excited for. Like, because they were showing like the iconic game 30 years later. And I'm like, so is that the old game that you're showing, or is that the new game that you're making look like the old game? It was super confusing. So what did you get out of this, this trailer?
I didn't get too much, to be honest with you, because I don't have the attachment to the original. So when they said, the coolest thing about this is a sequel to a 30-year-old game. So that was the, this is one of those games that I mentioned all the way at the top of the show, where I was like, there's some things here that just wasn't for me, but some things I still got enjoyment out of. So seeing this trailer was pretty fun for the most part. And at the same time, hearing that this is a 30-year-old game getting a sequel, it's just like, damn, all right, that's really cool. There's another game in the showcase that I cannot wait to talk about, because I thought this trailer looked great. And then I learned it was a game that was announced a lot earlier than I thought it was. So I can't wait to get to that. But in terms of flashback here, I just thought it looked all right. Nothing too noteworthy.
It was aight. It was okay. I think that's probably like the worst thing you could say for like any announcement trailers. Like, yeah, it was all right. Like that emoji.
There's somebody
man
out there who saw Flashback and was like, this is fucking amazing. And then there's somebody who saw Modern Warfare 2 and didn't go on a 10-minute conversation about it like you and I did. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, this was a really good showcase that the more and more we talk about it, the more I like it because of how much variety there was in it.
Yeah. Which is why with Flashback, sorry folks, we just have to go through it because they showed pretty much nothing. It was a confusing announcement. And that was just it. It was just an announcement. But for something that's come out this year, they made it seem like it was a next year thing. But there's still like, what, 60 other showcases coming out this year. So they have plenty of time to show that off. But another game that I got caught by surprise by was Witchfire. It looks interesting. You brought me onto this one because you had an interest in it. What exactly is Witchfire?
So it's a first-person shooter that really seems to... The first thing I noticed was this game looks smooth as hell. Just the way that the gameplay is and the way that the shooting is, it reminded me, not totally, but it gave me a little bit of Doom vibes. I don't know fully why, I just think because Doom, I think, is the pinnacle of smooth gunplay. And I think this kind of gave me some vibes of that. But here's the thing about Witchfire. You have some abilities you can use at the same time. And that's what I think really made this game stand out as much as it could anyway. There was a few cool ways you could defeat enemies in this game that we saw from the trailer. And I really dug it. Like, trying to remember one where the person was using a bell and using their fire ability to take enemies out from it.
Oh, really cool. It looked like a golden bell that looks like it purifies enemies.
I'm not totally sure. I would have to look at the trailer again, but I'm really digging this trailer. What did you think, man?
All right, so Witchfire looks interesting to me. Some of the weapons look kind of strange. Like, I don't know what they're made of. Like, are they made out of like mystical energy? Because there's like you say, you're using magic abilities, but it looked like they were also with the weapons. So I wonder if they go hand in hand, or if you can like mix it up, have like defensive magic with your guns and your shotguns and pistols. And I think there's even a fire whip, or maybe that might have been one of the enemies who had the fire whip. But yeah, Witchfire looked interesting, but it didn't catch my interest completely. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I played this before, but at the same time, is because there's a game. It came back. It came back. It was back on the original Xbox, and when I saw this game, it reminded me of it, and I cannot remember the name for the life of me. And it makes me so mad because it was a game that I really loved. And that's what caught my interest with Witchfire, because it reminded me of that game right away. But for me, I'm kind of mid on Witchfire right now.
Yeah.
I think like you said with a couple of other games, I have to see a little more. But for now, it looks cool. Don't get me wrong. I like the
look
of it.
It's a good first impression. I don't think impression to where it's, oh, I'm in. Shut up and take my money. I don't think that was a trailer that was like that. But it was a really solid and first impression to where me and apparently you as well were like, all right, that looks pretty enticing. It looks like there's some fun gameplay elements that you could have different kind of play styles and defeat enemies in different kind of ways. But yeah. I want to see more. And I think that was a really good way to put it. So the one last thing before we wrap up and move on, I do want to mention the visuals in the game look really good too. As a lot of games here, I think we're kind of past that point to where we can kind of assume most games we look at nowadays are going to look good at the very least.
It depends on the atmosphere. And for Witchfire, I like that they have it like in the middle of the day that is bright. Because a game like this, they could easily just like had everything dark and moody. But this one actually isn't afraid to have a little bit of color in its atmosphere. Like there are some dark atmosphere. But I like the point that they do have colors and you can see the enemies in all their details. But the game comes out later this year in early access. That's going to be the thing, though. How long will it be in early access? Because obviously it's going to be a 2023 full release. And I think that would be the time when you and I would check it out before we like really go into whether or not Witchfire is going to be the game for us. But earlier we mentioned Troy Baker and his love for the work that he does. He is in yet another game. Big surprise, right? Fort Solace was announced. It's going to have Troy Baker and Roger Clark as two of the main voices in the game. It's going to be running on Unreal Engine 5. We'll get ready to see more games running on that beautiful thing. It didn't really show a whole lot. So this is obviously going to be like something that we're going to see at the Game Awards. I think we'll see like a bigger trailer. This is just an announcement trailer, but I think we'll see like the world premiere debut trailer at the Game Awards. But what are your thoughts on Fort Solace?
Well, first up, I want to point out a little more about the game. So Fort Solace follows Jack Leary, who is Roger Clark's character. An engineer working on Mars who's performing a check on a routine alarm at Fort Solace, a base located on the same planet. Unusually, though, the base is entirely devoid of staff, and things seem to have transpired here that is rather unusual. With the voice of Taylor, who's voiced by Troy Baker, an officer who was stationed at the base, Jack must explore the facility, determine what the facility was designed for, and what happened to its crew, and escape with not just the truth, but his life as well. So that gives a little more information. And I'm looking at the write-up from thenerdstash.com, written by Sean Robinson, who, by the way, I want to give a shout-out to Sean here, because Sean does a lot of the work behind the scenes for thenerdstash.com. He handles a lot of the special events like this, and keeping track and writing notes, and making sure everybody's covering something. And Sean does a lot of fucking great work. So, shout out to Sean here. And last thing I want to mention, too, is Sean writes here, while there will be more than enough space horror to go around, Fort Solace finds itself leaning further into the mystery aspect. And that was something I think they mentioned in the Summer Game Fest showcase as well, is that it's more of a thriller as going into it with these two main leads who are legendary voice actors. And I'm really excited for this. What did you think, though?
I got nothing out of this, to be honest. It was a cool trailer, don't get me wrong. It's always Mars. We have a fascination with Mars. I didn't know it was a thriller. It looked more like a horror game, but it's kind of cool as a thriller. Okay. But speaking of announcement trailers, we had a reveal for Routine. And these are Taylor words, not mine. This is the bullet point he gave me. Fuck, that was creepy. I get you. That is the bullet point he put on here for me. Oh, man. But the showcase seemed to emphasize on the audio design and was announced back in 2012. You brought this up to me because I could not figure out what you were talking about. You were rattling your brain trying to remember where you heard Routine from. But apparently it's a game that was announced, died off, and is now coming back from the dead 10 years later. So what exactly is Routine?
So first thing, I do want to go back to Fort Solace for one quick second. Ooh, it's going to be on Unreal Engine 5. So
yeah. That's going to look pretty.
Yeah, that's one thing that's definitely in his favor out of the gate. But going to Routine here. So the reason I put fuck, that was creepy, is because the face that catches the character at the end was really damn creepy. It was awesome. I love that. I love the... There was like I kind of put too, there's an emphasis on audio design throughout this entire showcase, it felt like. That, and also kind of a horror-centric showcase, which I wasn't really expecting up to this point. But I really liked this announcement trailer. It did exactly what it wanted to do. It hooked the player in, and hopefully we actually get some solid gameplay out of it, and hopefully it has an intriguing story. There's nothing really else to say here other than, like you mentioned, Michael, that this game was first announced in 2012, which is fucking wild.
It's back from the dead a decade. can't even blame COVID for it.
This thing died off, came back, got re-revealed. I mean, that's just a really cool story. We talked about Flashback getting a trailer getting a sequel 30 years later, which is fucking awesome. A few games later, this happens, and it's like, man, all right.
You mentioned earlier, audio design seems to be the name of the game right now. And I think it is thanks to Sony and Microsoft. 3D audio is a hit. Oh my goodness, 3D audio is so cool. And with Xbox supporting Dolby Atmos for a few years now, I think audio is going to be like a huge thing for this generation of consoles. We're going to get more games that support Dolby Vision and Dolby Atmos and 3D audio. And what was the other one? Spatial. Sorry, is it spatial? Spartial. I think spatial
it's
audio.
One of them. Like that.
It's probably one of those. So we're not engineers, all right?
If it's not, then it's something else. So.
One of the two. You know, got to cover our bases. It's 50-50 right now. But I can't wait to see what Routine can do for a game that died 10 years ago and something came back. Let's see. What do we have next? Outriders. You remember that game? Remember how excited we were for Outriders? Well, they had a trailer debut for Outriders World Slayer, the first big story-driven DLC expansion for the live service game. I almost forgot what to call it. I almost forgot it was a live service game. Because we've gotten so little content for Outriders. We did get a pretty cool update for it a few months ago. But like, man, I keep forgetting that this is a live service game. But Outriders World Slayer showed a little bit of gameplay, despite the point that the trailer itself said that it wasn't gameplay, but it was gameplay. I don't know. It was really weird. The game comes out on June 30th, so you don't have that much longer to wait. And the in-game trailer will be revealed on June 10th. Matt Taylor, did you get anything out of this one? Because you and I, we were talking about Outriders before we started recording and how excited we were for it at first. But will World Slayer bring you back to Outriders?
We talked about this when it got announced, right? I think it's one of those things that I'm going to see how people judge when it comes out. Is this going to be one of Bungie's Witch Queen expansions or Taken Kings that just revitalizes the game? Or is it going to be an expansion that just does little to get people hyped to get back into it? Because it's not coming to Game Pass. It's not free. So it's one of those things where I don't want to spend money on a game that I really wasn't that into.
Yeah.
That I wanted to be. Like, there's things here, like, I'm so conflicted about Outriders. There are things that this game does that I'm like, this could really be one of those divisions, destinies, it could really thrive in this genre. But it just, at times, it feels so fucking generic. And I hate to say it.
No, it does.
But at the end of the day, I think I'm just going to wait till June 10th and watch the full thing they got going on with the endgame. Because that's another thing, too. What's the endgame going to look like? How is it going to make people stay on the game? That's the problem, too, with Outriders. Nobody wanted to stay on the game. Because also, a lot of people couldn't stay on the game. Because the server issues at launch.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing about that game for you and me. Was it was riddled with bugs. It would kick you out of the game in the middle of gameplay because you always had to be connected online and their servers could not keep up. And I think it got to the point to where you and I just could not finish that game and we fell out of it before we reached the end game. From what I understand, the game is far more stable now. I haven't gone back to it because, like you said, at times it felt so generic that it's hard for me to go back and want to play it now. Especially since I got the Series X, I have to re-download the whole thing. I'm just not sure if this is what I want to get back into Outriders. And I think it's because we don't know how much they're going to support this game. Are we going to get, like you said, with Bungie, with Taken King and, what was it called, Queen? The
Taken King and the Witch Queen.
Witch Queen, yeah. But, yeah, like with Destiny 1, with Taken King, and like with Destiny 2. Are we just going to get like that one big expansion? Are we going to get miniature expansions? We don't know the support that Outriders is going to get. World Slayer, I think, in my opinion, is a good first step to show that they are still going to support this game. Because People Can Fly announced that, yeah, we haven't got royalties for this game. So, I don't know. Another game that I fell out of was Fall Guys. So, you want to talk about the Fall Guys free-to-play trailer?
Sure. I think for the sake of time, we should probably start to bundle these up. And bundle some of these up that we weren't totally interested in. We'll still have some conversations about the games we were wanting to talk about, and some of the bigger ones especially, but I don't want to have us going on and on 3 hours in. I guess we could talk about four games right here. I don't think we were all that into any of these, unfortunately.
But the thing is, for a lot of them, they were just like quick trailers. Yeah. They didn't really show a whole lot of gameplay.
And some of these, we'll talk about it. I was entertained by the trailer, or it was intriguing enough for me to want to see more. It just wasn't noteworthy enough for us to talk about 20 minutes on a podcast. But we got a Fall Guys free-to-play trailer. It was fine. Again, for those who don't know, Fall Guys is going free-to-play on June 21st, which is very soon, and I'm actually very pumped for that as an Xbox player. There was a reveal trailer for Stormgate, which is an RTS game, free-to-play. It was said there's no pay to win, NFTs, etc. about the game, which just hearing that is just, it's sad. There was an announcement trailer for a game called Highwater that has a 2022 release date. It's an adventure strategy game that looks absolutely gorgeous. You go on the trailer on YouTube and look at it. There's countless people asking what the song is accompanying this trailer, and I thought that was pretty funny. The song is great. Well, it accompanies the trailer so well. We'll talk about that as well. And then we had a trailer for American Arcadia. And my one note on this is nobody has a nose, and I'm very concerned. Where do you want to start here? I guess some rapid-fire thoughts.
Yeah, Stormgate. I didn't really get a whole lot of that. I get that as a new IP, it's a new world. That got me interested. It's like, okay, this is kind of cool. I didn't know what it was until you told me it was an RTS game. And I love that you put down here that is there's no pay to win or NFTs. Like, now that's the thing you have to put into your games. It's free to play.
That's why I started laughing. I was like, damn it, why are we here?
Yeah, we reached a point to where we swear there's no loot boxes, or we swear there's no pay to win, we swear there's no NFTs. It's like, oh God, there's so many promises you got to make now. And it's just, it's funny that I read that. And I'm like, wow, that's something that we have to do now for our free to play games. Before it was like no microtransactions. Now it's no pay to win, no NFTs, no loot boxes, no this and blah, blah, blah. High Water looks interesting. I'm interested in the story. The gameplay, I don't really know if they showed a whole lot of it, but I'm interested in where the story comes from. American Arcadia. You put down here that nobody has a nose. It's a cool art style for me. I don't know. It looks kind of strange now that you brought it up to me. But it gave me the vibe of We Happy Few, which I was excited about at first. And then when I actually played it, lost complete interest in it because, man, that was such a letdown. Hopefully American Arcadia doesn't go into that same trap. Hopefully it stays interesting. Goat Simulator 3. Fuck Goat Simulator. Oh my goodness. I'm glad you put down there, fuck this game, because I feel the same way.
Okay, hold on. We'll get into Goat Simulator. Let me give my rapid fire thoughts here.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So for Fall Guys, like I said, really cool. We're getting that game in a few weeks. Stormgate, I thought the trailer was pretty good. It's just RTS games I'm very picky about. It's just not really my genre most of the time. But it is cool that they did say no pay to win, no NFTs, all that stuff. High Water, I thought that looked really good. I thought the trailer was excellent. And not really much else to say about it. I would really like to see more. Whenever it comes to American Arcadia, I know I made that joke. But at the same time, I thought that looked pretty good. We Happy Few is actually a very good comparison to make when it comes to the vibe of the game. It kind of gave me a little bit of that, what was that game, Inside?
Oh, Inside, yeah. It kind of gave me
vibes
of
that. I don't know if that's how the gameplay is going to be or not, but okay. I like the world, though. It looks pretty cool. Now, let's talk about this. So last week, Michael, we had the predictions, and I said, hey, I see Deep Silver's name here. Deep Silver worked on Dead Island.
Yeah.
They're still apparently, according to a report from Tom Henderson from months ago, they were still working on Dead Island 2. That the game was not dead, and in fact, it was coming back. And then I made the prediction, said we're going to see Dead Island 2 on Summer Game Fest. And guess what happens here, Michael? I see this fucking trailer. And because I'm over here writing my notes, I do not see the developer, which is Coffee Stain. I don't see that. And then I look up, and I see the iPod, and I see the location. And I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is Dead Island 2. And it's a fucking trailer for a Goat Simulator. This was a great trailer. Fantastic.
No, it was.
It was so good. Like, there's not even a Goat Simulator 2. They decided to go from Goat Simulator to Goat Simulator 3. But for them to troll like that, oh, it was so good. It was just chef's kiss. That was one of the best trailers I've seen in years. Like, I was seconds away from sending you a GIF of Captain Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine just screaming out vindication.
For me, yeah, I'm with you. Fuck this game. Oh my goodness. Although I will admit, like you, I really enjoyed this trailer because it was so chaotic and it was just so fun. And hopefully Goat Simulator 3 will keep that energy going, because for me, Goat Simulator 1 got kind of tiresome, and I'm hoping they can keep the energy up for Goat Simulator 3. But off of all of that, moving on. So we don't make it a 2-hour show. Cuphead Delicious Last Course is coming on June 30th. Studio MDHR Showcase included a short demo for the DLC. Taylor, what did you think about this Delicious Last Course show? Or showcase, because I forget they do have a Cuphead show now.
I liked the demo. I thought it was pretty good. I don't know where this franchise is going next. I'm looking too far ahead with this. I'm like, all right, this is the last DLC for Cuphead. We're done with this game after this. Are they going to continue the franchise? Like, we got the Netflix show. Is that highly successful? Are we going to get a Cuphead 2? what are they going to do for Cuphead 2? Are they going to make multiplayer co-op a thing, which is what I've really wanted from the game since it released? So stuff like that. I'm wondering where we're going to go with the franchise next. As for this DLC, I thought it looked really good. What about you?
You know, I wasn't impressed by it. I was like, okay, it's Cuphead. Yep, it's definitely Cuphead. And I think it's because they keep showing the Delicious Last Course, and it kept getting pushed. Well, it's only been pushed back, what, twice? I can't remember how many times it got pushed back, but it's been delayed a couple of times. So honestly, me, I'm over Cuphead. I want to see what else MDHR is working on. Because I think that was one of my predictions, was like, we will see a teaser for the next game after Cuphead. Unfortunately, all we got was a few minutes of the same old gameplay that we've seen before, only with Miss Chalice. So that was kind of cool. So for me, I wasn't that impressed with it, because like I said, I'm over Cuphead now.
All right. So I want to go ahead and skip all the way to our last topic, which is the big game that got revealed and leaked, which was The Last of Us Remake. But first, because we're skipping over some games here, were there any games on this list here we have that we didn't get the chance to talk about? And sorry for that, but we went pretty long on some things, and unfortunately I gotta go here shortly. So is there anything that you want to talk about that's on our list that we didn't talk about yet?
Just real quick, because I know this is something that you and I were both loving. TMNT, Shredder's Revenge.
Yes.
It looks amazing. I'm sorry, that was the game that won me over during the whole Game Fest. That was the one that I was like, I want that game now. I mean, it comes out June 16th, so we don't have to wait that much longer. But like, it looks so cool. And they introduced 6-player co-op. And that look like it's going to get real busy and real crazy, but that's something that I really want to bring my nieces and nephew over and play and show them the stuff that me and their dad grew up playing. We were playing TMNT in the arcades back when, for you younger kids, we used to go out to the mall and stuff and play arcade games. I know you still do that now, but like, that was our big go-to. But yeah, Shredder's Revenge. I'm loving the idea of 6-player co-op. I love that they brought Casey Jones. Oh, I'm down for that. And so, yeah, TMNT, Shredder's Revenge. That was a big game for me.
Yeah, TMNT, Shredder's Revenge looks really damn good. It looks like a love letter to the arcade TMNT, and I love it for that reason. Going down this list here, also, I want to mention Saints Row. I still feel like it has that identity crisis. I do love the customization of the game. I feel like that's something that they did pride themselves on, which is cool. But yeah, at the same time, I'm going past that. I'm like, all right, cool. You have great customization. What's the game? What's the story? What are you going for? Because I'm seeing Saints Row 3, and you're telling me Saints Row 1 and 2, and I'm very confused by it. When it comes to Gotham Knights getting another trailer, I heard both you and Riley talk about this game a few weeks ago, and I can't believe I'm the pessimist in this debate here, because I really did not care for the Gotham Knights demo too much. I did not like the farts that Red Hood had as he tried to get across Gotham. That was a weird way to do traversal. They could also, I don't know how easy or difficult this would be to do, because I'm not a game developer. I'm just thinking out loud here. If you wanted him to have a traversal mechanic, maybe he could have rocket boots like Star-Lord. Just saying.
For Red Hood, I could see him using grappling hooks. Like, I don't understand.
Well, they wanted every character to have their own way to traverse the city, which I understand. I just think you could have done better for Red Hood. I think Red Hood's combat's a little more awkward. But in terms of just this trailer period, it was like, hey, here we're going to be doing character trailers for all of our 4 heroes. So we're going to start with Nightwing. Here's our trailer for Nightwing. To which I went, sitting at home in my dumb brain, why are we doing this now? This would be the first thing you would show, is the character trailers first. We've already seen so much of Nightwing. I'm kind of sick of it, to be honest with you. I don't know. There's just something. I'm still going to play the game. I think I'm too big of a DC fan There's just something about playing with the Bat Family 2 that's enticing to me because I really love the Bat Family. But at the same time, there's just something off about Gotham here. I just can't put my finger on it. It just doesn't feel right. Whenever I'm looking at this world and I'm watching the combat and I'm watching these characters interact, there's just something off the entire time. And this trailer did not help at all.
It doesn't. Also, I like how you put in the notes, another Gotham Knights trailer, the game, not the TV series.
Don't get me started. There's just...
I love how you put that in the notes.
There's so much wrong with that TV series trailer. Like, oh my god, it looked horrible. Oof. Everything we did not talk about, there was some really cool stuff. Neon White, I think that looks pretty interesting. Michael, we were talking before the show. You seem pretty intrigued by that too. Just going through here, Humankind Cultures look pretty cool as well. And other than that, we got some stuff for The Quarry, which that game's coming out very, very soon. I'm going to see what people think of it before making a call myself on it. Nightingale, I think, looks pretty interesting. The card system is a strange choice, for sure. But, and then, of course, Layers of Fear. Not a huge Layers of Fear fan. I know the franchise is very popular. I thought the trailer was pretty creepy overall. But that's my full thoughts on all the games we had at Summer Game Fest. Anything else before we get into our last game?
For me, nope. You hit everything square out. I also did not really care for the Saints Row demo. I was so disappointed because I tried to defend it. You guys can't say I was straight up hating on it. But they were so proud of their boss factory, build a boss, have you like thing that instead of showing anything, they were like, hey, here's more to customization. Like, yeah, we already praised you for that.
And the demo is out now, I believe. So that's pretty cool too. But I just wanted to see more from the gameplay or the story or something. Exactly, because that's what I think the game... The customization is by far, to me, the best part of the game.
And that's a shame. I mean,
you want great customization in any game, really. But I'm just saying, period. Like, it's just, that's not what I would like focus on right now, because I know y'all got it.
Yeah, people talked about, they showed the gameplay before, and people were like, this doesn't look that great, blah, blah, blah. It looks like Saints Row. And then they showed the customization, and everybody praised it. So they're like, oh, let's keep going with that. Let's keep going with the one thing people actually praise us for, rather than proving our gameplay. For me, it was definitely a letdown to see that again. All right, but for our big topic to end this podcast, The Last of Us Remake trailer, which was leaked earlier in the day, but we do know that a new multiplayer is coming next year. The TV show was also talked about. We also saw a little bit of leaks from the TV show being filmed. We saw the From the Ground Up remake is dropping in September, and a lot of expected leaks. I just wanted to read that note off. Taylor, The Last of Us Remake. Did you see the price for this game?
Is it 70?
It's 70.
Yeah, I took a guess. I don't know. I don't know. See, that's a conflicting price point, because you look at the trailer for it, and what sold me is when you saw the side-by-sides of Joel and Ellie. And I was like, fuck, they did a great job. Like, they said this was a remake from the ground up, and you can see it, and it's one of the most beloved games ever made from 2013. But man, $70 is a lot for a game that I've already played.
They have a Firefly edition for $100.
It's a lot for a game I've already played, but it's one of the best games ever. But it's a game that I've already played. It's definitely a dilemma.
Which we even see that they did The Last of Us Remaster. It's like, wait, why are you charging $70 for this? Like, this doesn't really look like something that, look, it doesn't look as good as Last of Us Part 2. So if they were doing that, if they did like a full blown.
I don't know, man. Like, Last of Us 2 is
You think it looks better?
Really good looking game. And so is The Last of Us Remake here. But I don't know if we've seen enough to where I can definitively tell you which one looked better. Because The Last of Us Remake looks really fucking good.
No, it does. Especially when you see the new Joel model that they have.
Yeah.
But yeah, at first I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. This better be like a $40 game. Because I'm not spending $60 on this. No, we'll do one better, buddy. It's not $60, we promise. Oh, thank you. It's $70. My guy, no. I bought Ratchet and Clank at $70 because it was a brand new game built from the ground up for the PlayStation 5. I even did this. Well, I didn't do the same with Horizon. I got Horizon for the PS4 and did the PS5 upgrade. But yeah, for a game like this that came out on the PS3 and then you did a remaster for the PS4, that ruined it for me. If only if I didn't look at the price, I would have been all right. But it's. It looks good. I can say that. It looks good. So, yay. So, what about you, Taylor? Will you drop 70 bones for this one?
Nah, I mean, see, here's another thing. It is coming to PC as well. So, that's really damn good.
Yeah.
And it's a from the ground up remake. Like, it's not just a remaster. That's the thing. So, I think my question, my concern, my worry, whatever you want to call it, is how much of it is a from the ground up remake. Like, is this for real? You went through, you didn't just touch up, you rebuilt it. You made different mechanics better. Because I think there's something to be said, too, about Naughty Dog's game design. And I've saw videos about it before. And this was when The Last of Us 2 came out. I'm not one of those people who are sitting there and going, Last of Us story bad, because Last of Us 2 story bad because you know what happens. But in terms of a game design, I can understand it. And in terms of the story they were told, and overall, I can understand it. So what I'm saying here is, with this from the ground up remake, what is Naughty Dog doing what is being done that's different and makes me want to spend $70? And that's the question I have.
Yeah, for me, there better be, like you said, control improvements. Because some of the shooting mechanics in that game was kind of iffy. Still pretty fun, but kind of iffy. Oh, man. All right. So with that said, Taylor, thank you for joining us. Thank you to everyone who listened in, whether this is your first time or your 10 millionth time. We really appreciate you showing up. We really appreciate you listening. And please, let your friend know about us. Even if they listen to us one time, we really appreciate it. We'll be back next week with more gaming news.